Hey mama, welcome back to the One Income Family Podcast. Have you ever wondered how your faith and your finances go together? Do you desire financial security? Are you looking for a way to release the financial burden and stress that is weighing you down? Well, today we are going to dive into the Word of God and let Scripture be our guide to finding financial security and peace so that you can focus less on your finances or worrying about the dollar amount in your account to being able to focus more on God and your family. Money is merely given to us by God to steward for His will. So by focusing on our faith, we can do better with our finances. So mama, go pop in them headphones, grab a cup of coffee or tea like I love, take a breath, and let the Word of God speak to you today. Hey friend, welcome to the One Income Family Podcast. Do you live primarily on your husband's income and find it hard to save or get out of debt? Are you constantly searching for ways to cut costs, live frugally, and do things on a budget? Do you have big dreams only to be stopped by overspending and loosely following your budget? Hey, I'm Molly, and I too have struggled with living and growing a family on one income. But through trial and error and a lot of help from God, my family and I have learned how to live abundantly on less. This podcast will bring you a Christ-centered, simple, and frugal lifestyle, along with how to budget so you can follow it, and time management tips that will transform your budget and your home. So go restart that laundry, grab your Bible, and let's get budgeting. Hey mama, do you want to come hang out with a group of mamas who are living or want to live on a single income just like you? Inside the free One Income Family community, you'll learn how to stick to a budget so that you can save to finally go on that family vacation or buy that weekend ice cream that brings you and your family so much joy. You'll also learn how to think frugally and cut costs so that you are buying things that last and are worth your purchase, but at a lower price. And you will do so with a group of like-minded mamas whom you can connect with, share your struggles, and receive support along the way. Join now at bit.ly, which is bit.ly/ the One Income Family Community, or just click the link in the show notes. I also want to invite you, in case you aren't on Facebook, to become an insider and get on my email list. I shoot out weekly emails that are going to help you cut costs, save money, stick to that impossible budget, and create a lifestyle filled with joy rather than the stresses that money brings. You can become an insider by going to bit.ly/ the One Income Family Insider. The only difference on those two links is the community is the One Income Family Community, and the insider is the One Income Family Insider. Again, those links are in the show notes in case you didn't catch those, but definitely come and join the free Facebook group. And if you're not on Facebook, then come and join the insiders list so that you can know what's going on. You can get more tips and tricks on how to become frugal and stick to that budget. And you can do that all with the help of God. So come join and let's get connected. Today I have for you 5 ways that you can use your faith to become better with your finances. And I know that when this title first came to me, I was just like so excited to share with you the things that I do. And as I was researching good scripture to share with you so that it's not just me telling you things and you're going, well, is that actually in the scripture? Because that is one thing that I definitely want you to do. When I tell you something that's from scripture and I'm quoting something, I want you to go look it up. I want you to know that it's actually from scripture and not just me telling you something. I want you to find truth from what I'm saying in the Word of God rather than just you listening to me and believing what I'm saying. So I really want you to gather your own beliefs and your own, I want to say desires, but that's not the right word, but your own thoughts from it so that you can actually take what it is that you learn and use it. And it's not just somebody blowing smoke in your face. You know, I want you to actually learn from it and get something from it and it to actually be truth. And the only way that you know it's truth is if you go and look it up in the Bible yourself. and then take your own beliefs and weigh it together, right? Okay. So with that being said, I'll go back to what I was saying, which is that when I first started researching for this episode, I was like writing down all this stuff that I thought was great and really good information. But when I started to really dig deep into the Bible verses and the points that I wanted to share with you, that wasn't just basic stuff. Like, I'm 100% positive that you are going to guess what the first point is, the first step that I want you to focus on. But I go deeper. I don't just talk about what the point is. I go deeper into why it is that you need to do what these steps are. And I know that it's really hit me hard, and I have gleaned a lot from this that I am going to take away and use every single time I go to make a financial decision anymore. And it's going to help me really better my finances. It's going to help me really learn how to set up a system that's going to be both pleasing to God and get the things that I desire done too, because I think that we need to partner together and it's not just one way or the other. So with that being said, let's dive into the first point, which, like I said, you're going to guess this. So if you want to become better with your finances, the first thing that you have to do is, drum roll, pray, right? You need to seek out God's will. But I'm not just talking about like sitting down and praying like, Lord, please give me this. Like, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. That's not what I'm saying. When I tell you to sit down and pray, I do it strategically in a way that is saying it opens up your mind to God's will. I just recently heard someone say this on a goal setting episode, and I believe it's Christy Wright. So definitely go check her out because she's got some really good information for you. But she was saying something about how it opens up your mind, and I wasn't 100% paying attention because I was also feeding my children at the time, but it helps you actually be able to like flip on this switch in your brain that allows you to hear God. Like, as you are sitting down, as you are, I don't know, whether you're sitting down setting your budget up or you're out there in the moment actually purchasing whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to be able to hear God talking to you. You're going to be able to like think about whether this is what God would want you to do or whether it's something that you want to do. It's definitely like when you pray, it puts God at the front of your mind. It puts him right there in front of your face and allows you to use him as a filter when you are making these financial decisions. And it's so helpful because definitely, like when we jump into scripture, Matthew 6:33, which I have done an episode on this before, and I will link that in the show notes, but it says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. That is what we need to do. That is like where our brain needs to be at all times. God needs to be at the forefront of our brain. And if we focus on praying, if we focus on actually having him be at the forefront of our brain, he only gets there if we have trained ourselves to pray always. And so when you sit down and you think about God and you sit down and you pray, that just automatically happens. Like, that's what is in the front of your brain is God. It's not like you can pray and then just throw him to the side and not wonder if he's going to agree with your decisions or not. You're going to go, okay, so this is what I want to do, but is this what God wants me to do? And that's how it's going to help you, by praying and seeking him first. Deuteronomy 8:18 also says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today." So by focusing on God, by remembering him, by putting him at the forefront of your brain with every decision you make, and this is not just in your finances, this is in every aspect of your life. If you put him at the forefront of your brain and you think about him every time you go to do something, you are going to not only become a better person, but you're going to be able to live in wealth that he is going to give you. And wealth doesn't necessarily just mean financially, but joy and peace and understanding and all this stuff that are the fruits of the Spirit, that is what you're going to get. And you're going to be able to live in this joyous life regardless of how much money is in your account. So first and foremost, if you want to better your finances, you have to have God at the forefront of your brain. You have to be seeking him 100% of the time. And he is going to guide you. He's going to lead you. He's going to put you in a place that is going to give you that financial peace, that financial stability, and everything that it is that you are looking for. Okay, point number two. The second thing that you need to do is develop your faith, which is your trust in God. You have to really learn how to lean on him. You have to learn how to completely 100% wholeheartedly trust in him. And I am not 100% there yet. I don't know anybody who is except for Jesus, right? In 100% trust, knowing that he is there for you. But it says in Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year or drought and never fails to bear fruit." So because this tree is so focused on God and has such a faith. Well, I mean, he's not saying that the tree has faith, right? It's just by a stream that it never has to worry. And even in a drought, it will be able to bear fruit. That is the same way for us. When we build our trust, when we really are able to lean on God, it sets us up to be able to obey him. It sets us up to willingly be searching for him to guide our steps and to know that he is going to do what is in our best interest. Whether that's what we think is right or not, he is going to take us down the path that is actually going to bear fruit all the time, that is actually going to give us peace, give us joy, give us understanding. I mean, even when we are in drought, there are going to be seasons of drought. Just because we are Christians does not mean that we are going to live this easy life, right? Life is hard, and no matter what kind of beliefs you have, you are going to be in seasons of drought, in seasons that are hard and struggling. But if your faith is strong in God, knowing that he is going to provide no matter what's going on, then you don't have to worry about not being able to make it through to the next day. You know that financially you'll be able to take care of your family, because that is what's most important. If you have a bill that is coming that you need to pay, if it's not something important, then maybe you'll have to cut it for a season during that season of drought. But that does not mean that you won't be able to feed your family, that you won't be able to do what is necessary to make it through that season. And that is why it is so important to develop that faith. Another reason it's important to develop that faith is by doing so, it helps you to extinguish your love of money. It helps you to stop letting money be your idol and your guide to everything that you do. In Ecclesiastes 5:10, it says, "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. this too is meaningless. I want to read that again. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income, which is meaningless. Like, I did an episode on this previously, and I'll link that in the show notes, but it is so important to understand that you cannot, like, have two idols. You cannot follow two masters. That's what I'm trying to say, which that verse is also in Matthew 6. I'm not 100% for certain which one it is because I didn't write that one down. But you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both money and God. You have to pick one or the other. And if you develop your faith in God, you don't have to worry about that because your focus is going to be on God. When something pops up, when a hardship happens, you're not going to run to your money and see if you have enough money sitting in the bank account to handle that situation. You are going to run to God. You are going to know that even if there's not enough money in that bank account, He will take care of you. You are going to know that even if you do have enough money in that bank account, that is not what is going to get you through that trial. And so that is why it's so important to build your faith in God so that you are able to willingly and easily obey Him without a thought. If He asks you to do something, you're going to do it because you know that His direction is better than yours. You're going to know that money is not your idol, that money is not the thing that you cling to in times of heartache or even in times of wealth. You're going to know that you can make it through without having to worry. And that is such a great feeling and stress relief and like weight coming off your shoulders to know and to grasp and to understand and to really cling to that. Let God be your river so that even in times of drought, you can bear fruit. Okay, so the third thing that I want to talk about is that to allow your faith to strengthen your finances is to then obey God. So first you have to build that trust, but then you have to obey Him. And some of the things that the Bible talks about to obey Him with is to not go into debt, which in this time period is like impossible, right? Because you have credit cards, you have loans that you can go get from your bank, and it's so easy. It's like the snap of your finger. The worst thing you have to worry about is what your interest rate is going to be because of what your credit score is, right? But God tells us to not go into debt because the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is a slave to the lender. That's Proverbs 22:7. Proverbs 22, 26 through 27 also says, "Do not be the one to shake hands and pledge or put up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you." So if you rely on those credit cards, if you rely on that debt to live, then you are putting yourself into a position that you can no longer focus on your family. You are putting yourself into a position that when you sit down to do your bills or your bill system, that's what you have to worry about first. It's not whether you can feed your family. It's not whether you want to go enjoy a night out. It doesn't have anything to do with your family or the things that bring you and your family joy. Instead, you have to slave over your job to bring in enough income to make sure that you can pay the bills. Now, I know that there are bills out there that have nothing to do with debt, but if you cut out those bills that are attached to your debt, there's less stress that you have to worry about. This is why I talk about living in delayed gratification instead of living in like that instant gratification, because the instant gratification always breeds debt. You will always live in debt when you are living in the world of instant gratification. If you can get yourself to sit back and save every single penny that you need for maybe that car that you want, or maybe you're looking for a four-wheeler or something even smaller like a computer that you are wanting to buy, if instead of using your credit card, you take the time to save up that money, then you don't have to worry about whether or not you can pay for bills, whether or not you can feed your family, whether or not you have the money to put gas in your car. You are able to focus on your family, on God, over your finances so much easier if you do not have that credit card. Now, there are a few types of debt that I am not going to say not to get, which is a house payment, right? Getting a mortgage or getting a car loan. However, I want you to be smart about the purchase. I don't want you to buy something that is out of your budget. I don't want you to sit down and plan something out that's going to be something that you have to pay on for 6+ years when it comes to a car. I want you to sit down, figure out a payment that you can do, maybe make the payment that long, but then I want you to sit down and make a plan that you can pay that car off in like 18 months. Because that's what I'm doing. I just recently bought a car that's more than I've ever paid for a car. I'm stressing out a little bit, right? But I have sat down, made out a money payment plan in to make it so that we can pay this car off by in 18 months, essentially. And that is my goal. So I am not going to be in debt for that long. Now, there is going to be a time possibly that comes up that I can't put all the money, the extra money towards it that I can, but I still have that plan in place so that it is a very short-lived loan. That is what I want you to focus on. I don't want you to live in debt for your entire life. I want you, if you have to go in debt for something, to focus on having it be as short-lived as possible. That is why Dave Ramsey talks about if it's a car, you know, pay it in cash. And if you can do that, do it. If it's a $5,000 vehicle, by all means, save up the money for that. Don't waste your time going and getting a loan for that. Just live in delayed gratification. Save up the money for that car so you can just pay cash for it. You save interest. You save all the headache that it takes to set up a loan and going through whether or not you're going to stress over the interest rate, whether it's going to be super high or low because your credit score is off or something. Just get it paid as quickly as possible and live in that delayed gratification so that you don't have to worry about not being able to pay your groceries or to sleep or any of that kind of stuff, that you don't have to worry about going into bankruptcy because you were so worried about something that you had to have, but it wasn't a necessity, something that you could have saved up for, but you chose not to and you used the credit. So that is what I don't want you to live in. I don't want you to live in that stress, that worry that you're not going to be able to pay your bills. And I can definitely help you get out of that debt. So definitely, you know, come see me after this episode if that's something you're looking for. But before I get off track on that, I want to stay focused on God. So we're going to jump into the next way that allowing faith to strengthen your finances by obeying God is to focus on generosity and giving to the Lord. It could be tithing, it could be seeking out kingdom needs, like people who are hurting, but not just waiting for them to come to you, actually seeking them out so that you can use your finances to show your love, to show that you care and to further the kingdom of God. Use your money, use the money that God is giving you to steward to further his job, to further his calling. That's what I'm looking for. So that he can make a difference in other people's lives. It may be that you give some money to somebody anonymously and it helps them out and they see that God is good because they were praying for help and you were that help that they needed, but you didn't know. And it's awesome how these things work. I was somebody who people would anonymously give us money for like Christmas or something because our family was hurting. And it was great to know that we were loved, to know that people cared about us And to know that we had people out there that if we needed help, we could ask for that help. But you need to make sure that you're doing this out of obeying God and not out of like doing it because you have to, if that makes sense. It says in Luke 21, 1 through 4, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts in their temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of wealth, but she, out of poverty, put in all she had to live on. Jesus is saying here that you can be rich and give money. That's not a hard thing to do. But when you give money, even when you don't have that much to give, that is much more meaningful in the eyes of the Lord and much more productive in like furthering his kingdom than if you do it when you're rich. When you do it when you have plenty of money, it's not like an issue. You're not having to worry. You're not giving in faith. That's what I'm looking for. Giving in faith does so much more for your heart, for your thoughts of generosity and furthering God's callings, more than if you give because you have wealth. If you have extra money, and like, if you think of it in a way of like celebrities versus you and I, a lot of people or larger companies that have a whole bunch of money will give to charities at the end of the year as a tax write-off to save money that they don't have to pay into taxes, right? Which, I mean, if you do that, if you tithe and you write a check, you can give that to the church and they will give you something like a 1099. I'm not positive what it is. And you can do the same thing. So if you are giving for that purpose of getting that money back and not having to pay taxes in, and that is the motivation behind your generosity, then it's not really generosity. It's selfishness, right? These people who were rich and putting money into the temple treasury, it was out of obligation. It was out of ease. It was because they had the money and they weren't having to buy other things. But this woman who put all the money that she had into the treasury, that's faith. That is true faith that God is going to provide for me if I give him my money. Well, not if, even if I give him all my money, because he's going to provide regardless of if you give him your money or be generous. But there is a verse out there, and I didn't write this one down, but it talks about that if you give, you will receive, I don't know if it's like twofold or the same thing back, but when you give, God gives you back the things that you need. And it may not be financially. If you give financially, he may not give you back financially, but he will give you great things in return for the goodness that you give, because generosity gives you a heart of love. It gives you a heart of focusing and thinking of others instead of thinking about yourself. And this is what God really wants you to focus on. He wants you to focus on others and helping more than the selfish desires that the world has us focus on. He wants us to think about others, and that is what is really going to strengthen your faith and strengthen your finances. If you really start to focus on others and focus on obeying God. And I know it sounds strange that by giving to others is going to make us have a more joyful life and make our financial situation better, but it may not be in a sense that you're thinking financially makes it better, but it will make your life so much better. You will be so much more joyful regardless of what season you are in because you're not focusing on yourself. You're not being selfish. You're being loving towards other people. And in return, you are getting that love back. No matter if it's in the form of somebody just coming over to your house and hanging out with you, somebody buying something for you, or somebody giving you a big wad of cash. God does things to others that we do to them, right? So what it is that you give another person is what you're also going to receive. So think about that next time you sit down and you're making a budget, right? Do you have a spot in your budget that's going to allow for these situations? I know I recently have put in a giving account so that I can put my tithing in there and I can save up for situations of when I need to help other people and I see a need that needs to be filled. So I challenge you, put that in your budget. Put it in there so that you can help other people out when you see a time arise or even seek out a time for those people. Seek out those situations so that you can be giving constantly to them. Okay, another way that we need to obey God and that's going to strengthen our finances is by simply saving money. So Proverbs 21:20, and there's a lot of things in Proverbs about finances. So if you want to go read a book about finances, you just got to go look in the Proverbs, right? But Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise store up choice food and olive oil." Oh, I forgot to write the rest of this down. Funny. Okay. So I forgot to write down this whole quote or Bible verse. So the beginning of it is the wise store up choice food and olive oil. And now I'm going to paraphrase the rest of it because I didn't write it down, but it talked about, I just got to go look it up. Give me a second. Okay, here it is. Proverbs 21:20. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. Okay, that's the part that I was forgetting. I was like, I knew it had something to do with like the opposite effect, but I couldn't remember what it was. But the wise, they store up the things that they need. They prepare for the times of struggle. But I also don't want you to get so focused on that you don't go out there and use your money to live. But this is essentially like your retirement. You need to save up for your retirement or those things that you want to get so you don't have to live in that instant gratification and thus go into debt. We want to prevent that. So we need to save up for the things that we want. And that is what this is talking about, is that you need to focus more on saving and being able to pay for the things that you want and to be able to live in the future rather than going into debt or having to rely on things like the government to maybe live, because you know there's that iffy thing of whether there's going to be enough money to live off of Social Security, you know, in the future. But I mean, that's just hearsay. Who knows what's actually going to happen? However, we don't want to have to rely on that, right? You want to be able to have money saved up for retirement so that you can live if you want to retire. If you don't want to retire, then heck, don't worry about a retirement account, right? But definitely the Lord tells us to save our money and to not squander it on silly things. And yes, maybe every now and again there is something silly that you buy because, you know, you want it or there's something fun about it and then you never use it again and it ends up going to waste. But that's okay because we're human and we're not going to be perfect. But we do need to have the most of the focus being on saving for, you know, the important things rather than spending every single dime that we have. I know that Dave Ramsey has something that's like he focuses on giving 10%, so that'd be your generosity spending. Then you focus on saving 20% of your income, and then the other 70% is what you live on and you use for your expenses, right? I'm not exactly to that point yet. I'm still working on that. But it's definitely a goal to have, and maybe that's something that you want to achieve in the future. So definitely look at that and see how it is that you want to set that up. Okay, and this episode is getting long, so I'm going to jump to point number 4, which is to know your motivation for buying something and what your heart truly desires. So when you are sitting down to make a financial decision, if you want your faith to strengthen your finances, you need to know why you want to buy it. You need to know where your heart is with this. Are you focused on wanting to buy it because somebody else has it? Do you feel like you have money burning a hole in your pocket so you have to go out there and spend it like constantly all the time? What is your motivation? Again, Proverbs 21:17 says, whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. So wine and olive oil, they're expensive things to buy back then, right? So if you are constantly buying things or spending money on things that pleasure you, on things that are expensive, you are never going to build wealth. You are never going to be able to save your money. You're never going to be able to give generously. And you're constantly maybe going to be going into debt and then even deeper debt because you are wanting that instant gratification and you're buying that stuff as soon as your money comes in. So it's making you live paycheck to paycheck. This is the things that you've got to be thinking about. If you want your faith to strengthen your finances, then you need to pray. You need to put God at the forefront of your mind in every decision, whether you're sitting down to plan or you're out there making an actual purchase. You need to develop a strong faith and trust in God so that when He asks you to do something, you can easily and willingly do it, knowing that His direction is better than yours. By developing your faith and your obedience in Him, you can extinguish the love of money and stop having it be your idol. You can strengthen your finances by obeying God and not going into debt, by giving generously and saving your money. Those are things that God tells us to do all the time in the Bible. It doesn't matter where you read, you will find that one of these things everywhere, and that we are to focus on love instead of, you know, ourselves. And then the last point is to know your motivation. Where is your heart? Is your heart focused on selfish desires? Is your heart focused on money? Or is it focused on God and love and giving and doing good? Know those things and your finances can change 100% of the way. Like, you can do 100% U-turn, flip, whatever you want to call it. But it will change your life if you start really embracing these 4 points and then the points underneath them. So definitely, if you weren't able to write this all down, go back through, take notes so that you can start implementing this in your financial journey, but also the bits and pieces that you can use in your everyday life that are going to really help you live a joyful and loving and happy life, even if you are in a time of desert, like a season of bad things happening all the time. You can still live in joy and bear grateful and wonderful fruit. Okay, so I know that this episode has really blessed my socks off and that it was just what the doctor ordered. It opened my eyes to the way that God desires us to handle money. He gives us to steward, like what it is that He wants us to do, the calling that He has given us, and has reminded me that I'm not alone in this. So if it's true financial security that I'm looking for, then I need to look no further than Him. I need to seek Him first. I need to build my relationship with Him and to obey His calling, because that is when I am going to live my fullest life. I know how hard it can be to do this all alone, and that is why I want to invite you to work with me. I want you to seek God's counsel. I want you to ask Him to put His desires on your heart and see if getting your finances in order is something that should be a priority of yours. If this is something that God is laying on your heart to work on, then please come on over to calendly.com/Molly Bunnell. That's calendly.com/Molly with a Y, B as in boy, E-N-E-L-L, and book a free clarity call with me. I'm not asking you to come get on a paid call with me. I want you to book a free clarity call with me so that you can learn more about what it is that I can do and you can pray more on it about whether this is something that you need. I want you to know what I do for you can completely change your life and your financial journey. Now, if this isn't something that God's laying on your heart, know that there are no hard feelings. But then I do challenge you to share this opportunity with someone that you know who may need some financial help. All you have to do is share this episode with them. This episode has blessed my socks off, and I know that it will help you and your friends and family as well. So with that being said, have a great and blessed day, and I will see you next week. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I pray that it inspired you into action. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with that friend who also lives on one income and wants to learn how to live abundantly on less? Also, please leave a quick review for the show. It lights me up to know this podcast is helping you, and it helps get the show out there to other mamas in need. All right, well, it's time to go play with the babies, so I will meet you back here on Tuesday for another episode. Peace and chicken grease, Mama.